Well, good morning and welcome. We're glad to have all of you that are in the room. Scoot over some and make sure everybody has room around you. And welcome to all those watching on Facebook. We are so glad that you're here with us. We're coming to you from our Sunday morning service at Texas House of Prayer, located right here in the heart of Johnson County, Texas. And we're so glad that you could be with us this morning. And we encourage you to stay with it all the way to the end. There's a prize for everybody who makes it to the end. Not really. I want to say happy anniversary to Andrew and Jacinda. We're so thankful to the Lord for what He's done in your lives and how He's changed you these past couple of years. And the change didn't happen because they got married. The change happened because they gave their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wasn't there when it happened, but I was shortly thereafter it happened. And it's just amazing what God has done, and we're so thankful for that. This morning, I'm going to be continuing a series that I have been bringing forth, A Biblical View of the Family. This morning is part six. In part one, I won't go back and recap everything, but I'll just give a bullet point of what it was. It was in the beginning, and it was bringing forth an understanding of what the family was designed to be and what our design was as humans and how everything should work according to God's design. Part two, we talked about valuing our imperfect fathers. And once again, I will admit I am one of those. Part three, dealing with evil fathers. And I will not admit to that. God has delivered me from that. I'm so thankful for it. But even though I'm not evil, I am imperfect. But there are evil fathers out there, and we talked about the consequences of that. Part four was a biblical family is linear. And part five, which was the last time I spoke, was a biblical family is still linear. We went back and revisited part four and brought some more things out of it and hopefully tried to bring some clarity where it was needed. The title of part six is You Need to Grow Up. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you need to grow up. And if you have children here this morning, be sure and tell them that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. And this is in chapter 13, which is commonly referred to as the love chapter. Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, my intention was not to go and preach this message until I was going to go into the next part, which I believe part seven is going to be in why one, which is going to be talking about why God wants married people to be married. And are people who have a heart to be married, why He wants them to be married, what comes from that. So whether you're single or whether you're married, it doesn't matter. Whether you're young, everybody needs to hear that. But before I could get to it, the Lord wouldn't let me go there without bringing this, because we were jumping from, without doing today, we would be jumping from the purpose of a family and being in a family and being under authority and submitting to authority and then getting married. And there's a lot of growing up that needs to do in the meantime. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do we get to the place where we can live an adult life? How do we get to the place where we can be married, where we can have a family of our own? How do we get there? Well, it's got to be more than just recognizing I'm under my father's authority when I'm in the home. It's got to be a little bit more than just realizing that God has a plan for my life. we need to grow from that understanding of these basic things, and that these basic things, our understanding growing of those, and grow in that to the place where we become mature, and then we can take on our place in a marriage, the family, society, and the church. So that's what we're doing here this morning. And that's why we need to grow up. It's because growing up or becoming mature should be a primary goal. It should be a top priority in any person's life. You children that are here this morning, you children that are listening online, and those of us that are older, all of us need to realize God wants us to grow up. He doesn't want us to stay infants. He doesn't want us to stay babies. He doesn't want us to stay in a place where we can't take care of ourselves and help take care of others. And we'll get into that in a big way as we go through this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This is the will of God for you, is that you would grow up, that I would grow up. And we don't always grow up at the same rate. You can be in a class full of children. If you're in a school, as I was in public school, where everybody in my class was about the same age. We were either exactly the same age, or some were a year older and some were a year younger, but we were all about the same age. But we weren't all the same maturity. Some of us had a lot more going on in the area of maturity than others. Some were a lot more childish than others. And you see the progression in people's lives, how some people just seem like they're just not growing up. And then some people do it in some areas, but not in other areas. And today we want to look at what God's plan for us is. To grow up or become mature. Mature means, from the scripture, means to be brought to an end or finished or completed as intended. To be mature means you come into the end part of God's work on you, where you meet His design for you. The King James calls it being perfect. The New King James and other versions call it being mature. But that's what it means. It means to come to this designed end where you look like what He intended for you to look like. When people make things that need to mature, such as certain cheeses, need to come to a place where the complex of flavors is all that it should be, and everything is perfect with that cheese, it has to mature in order to get there. Certain wines have to mature in order to be all that they were intended to be. It's coming to the end of the process, but it has to have that process in order to reach the end. Maturity is a process. But today we're talking about being mature and being brought to that end. A few more scriptures that talk about, this is not exhaustive by any means, but this is just a few more to see, for us to see that it is the will of God that we grow and become mature. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We're told that He wants us to grow, and that growth is going to come spiritually by the Word of God. And when we're babes in Christ, we need to have things that are on our level, things that we can understand. We start off with the milk. We start off with things that nourish us where we are. But God doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to grow because of the milk. And then later on, He tells us He wants us to eat meat. And we'll get to that in a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace. Don't just receive God's grace. Grow in His grace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet. because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, or increases, or grows. He says, we rejoice when we see growth in you. Not only does God rejoice with our growth, our spiritual growth, our personal growth, but one another, we ought to rejoice. I rejoice when I see how Andrew and Jacinda have grown since those early days. My goodness, the first couple of times we met with Andrew, he's a different guy. He's grown since then. Cast a few devils out and get into the Word of God and bada bing, bada boom, you know, he's going. He's off. But that is the will of God, and it pleases my heart. What disturbs me is when I look at somebody and I don't see growth. Where I see immaturity, whether that be in me or anybody else, that's not the will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. We are glad to seem weak if it helps show that you are actually strong. We pray that you will become mature. We pray that you will become mature. You think you got it all together. You look at us, you think we're weak, you think you're strong. Okay, praise God, you think you're strong. Now, you think you're strong, but start showing it. Start living it. We actually pray for you that you'll get there. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge. These last few scriptures I've been reading have been coming not from the King James, but from the New International, from the New Living Translation. Because I wanted to see, instead of reading the King James where it says perfect, I wanted you to see what the actual meaning of that word is. It's mature. Ephesians 4:13, that we come to the unity of our faith and knowledge of the Son of God, that we be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This is why we come together. This is why we worship together. This is why we're in relationship with one another. That's why God has given us the fivefold ministry to equip us, that we might come to maturity. God has invested a lot in His children that we might grow past the entry point into something greater and bigger in Him. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. You know, we have to come into maturity in order to find a place where we can agree on things. Children, they fight over just about anything you can think of. Why are they fighting all the time and pushing and shoving and arguing over stuff? It's because they're not mature. Our agreement is going to come when we mature in the Lord, mature in our character, mature in the knowledge of His Word. Then we come to a place of agreement and we can do something to affect this world. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, solid food is for those who are mature. This was us saying earlier when he's talking about desire the sincere milk of the Word. But that is as a newborn babe in Christ. We are to grow. Take the Word of God in the simplest form where we can begin to change and grow, but learn more and more and more, more complex, more things that affect us, more things that cause us to need to change and give us the grace to change. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. This is the will of God for each and every one of us. The Lord is saying to us, you need to grow up. Let's go back to that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, you cannot hang on to childish things and become a man. That word man is used to denote maturity. This same principle holds true for women. It's when I became mature, I put away childish things. You can't have childish things. You can't hold on to childish things and be mature. We have to put the childish things away. Now, what are these childish things that he's referring to? First of all, he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. The first childish thing we want to look at today is childish speech. Remember, this is something that we have to put away. And this morning, we will revisit a lot of this when we talk about child training. And so I want you to look at that time as a parent. I want you to look at your children, what they need more as a parent. Right now, I'm encouraging all of you and all of us, including myself, to look at me, to look at you. How do I need to grow? How do I need to mature? How can I be more effective? Later on, as that effective person, we can be the parent that we ought to be, the grandparent that we ought to be. We can be the friend that we ought to be. We can be the husband or wife that we ought to be. But right now, we need to be what we ought to be. Amen? Amen. So childish speech. What normally comes out of a child's mouth besides gibberish? It's so funny. When Jennifer and Eric's children were staying with us all those many days, Joel and Judah, their little twin 2-year-old boys, there's no shortage of communication coming out of their mouths. I just don't speak baby talk. And they would say something, and I would look and say, what? And they would say it again. And I'd say, what? And then after a while, I'd say, I'm sorry, Granddad doesn't talk baby talk. Me talk baby talk. Yes, you do talk baby talk. But the problem is, Granddad hadn't learned it yet, okay? But childish speech, apart from not being conversant, fully conversant yet with the English language or whatever language you use, what normally comes out of a child's mouth, especially when they're in trouble? A lot of times it's a lie. You know, telling lies for a child comes easy and often. And if we're going to grow up, we're going to have to learn how to speak the truth. Mature people speak the truth. They don't go around lying, trying to protect themselves all the time. Always trying to... Another thing children do is, who did that? And the fingers start pointing. Somebody else. It's never... Well, sometimes they're proud of what they did. Me did. Me do. Me do. That was wrong. You did that wrong thing? Uh-huh. Me do. That's unusual. Usually it's he did it, she did it, somebody else did it. It wasn't me did it. But telling lies comes easy and often. And that's one of the things that we have to grow out of in order to mature. Another thing that is a part of childish speech is something that is very much harder to see in ourselves, but it's true about each and every one of us, is that we grow up repeating things that we've heard. And that's why you got to be careful, children, parents, what you say in the home, because it'll come out later. I was talking one time to Malachi when he was younger, and I said, he was talking all the time. I said, Malachi, put a sock in it. And he went home, and later on his mama was telling him something. He said, Mama put a sock in it. And she said, Malachi, where in the world did you get that? He said, Granddad said it. I said, yeah, but I wasn't saying it for you to say to your mom. But children do that. They repeat what they've heard. And we grow up a lot of times speaking not from our own personal discovery or diligent study, or from a development of sound reasoning, but just rebroadcasting what everybody else around us is saying. And that's why all these talk radio shows can be so dangerous, especially if they're done for wrong motives, just to raise money, just for shock value or whatever, because there is a nation full of people, there is a world full of people who haven't got a unique idea in their head. All they do is childishly rebroadcast something that they've heard that spoke to them and seemed reasonable to them, because the guy who said it was angry and on fire, so it must be true. And that's another thing about preaching. I love good, fiery preaching, and I wished I could do more of it. The Lord has me do mostly teaching. Every now and then I'll get into a preach. But I love good, fiery preaching. But, you know, it's not the fire and it's not the intensity that's going to change a person's life. If you're intense about nonsense, all you're passing on is nonsense. When you're standing up here and you're preaching the Word of God, I don't care if you're teaching it and you're quiet and dispassionate, or you're full of passion and you're just a fireball. Whatever comes out of your mouth ought to come out as truth. It ought to come out as revelation. It ought to come out as something that's intended to bring change to people, change them from one degree of glory to another. But that's another thing about childish speech, is just repeating things heard and not learning to think for themselves. Now, that is part of a child's growing up. That's why, and we'll get into this when we get into child training. Why a child is a child for so long is because during that early period, they are little recorders. They are little blank slates that we're writing on. And that's a good thing. God intended for that. But we can't stay that way. That is childish, and that is good for a child, but it is not good for a mature person. The Lord wants every one of us to know His will. Every one of us to be assured. I don't want anybody going out here and doing something because Brother Steve said it. I want them to listen to Brother Steve in order to hear God speaking. You go out here and you stand on the Word of God because you know God said it. I'm just the one, or Jason's just the one, or Dustin's just the one who reminded you that God said it. But don't you ever go out and not go to the doctor because Brother Steve said something. Don't you dare go out and not take your medication that you're supposed to be on because Brother Steve said. Now, if God says to put it down, put it down. I had a thyroid issue one time. I was taking thyroid medication, and I was doing it because the doctor told me to do it. I was doing it for 2 or 3 years. And all of a sudden, I told Susan, I'm not taking that anymore. And it wasn't rebellion. It wasn't anything. It's just I had an assurance I didn't need it. And I've lived without it for years and years and years. It's not been something. And I've had blood tests done after that show that that's all cleared up. You obey God. I'm not here to tell you. This is not a cult. You don't follow this leader. We all follow that leader. Amen? But I am here going to remind you, and I'm here going to tell you, and I know Brother Jason and Brother Dustin are going to just do the same thing. And anybody else we have preaching here, I want them to do the same thing. Okay, childish speech. This is one of the childish things that had to be put away in order to mature. Childish understanding. It's similar, but different. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice, evil, planned harm, be ye children, but in understanding be men. Once again, not a physical, biological man, but a mature adult. In understanding, be mature. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Some people don't feel comfortable unless they hear the same sermon preached over and over again. This is what they ought to do at our church. That's what the preacher ought to do. He ought to tell us how to be saved over and over and over again every week. That's not scriptural. The unsaved needs to know how to be saved. The saved need to know how to grow. So if we're having a service that is primarily designed to impact the unsaved, then we're going to concentrate on everybody inviting an unsaved friend in here, and we're going to not only be preaching to them one-on-one as we work with them, as we talk to them over the fence or whatever. We're going to bring them here, and we're going to have a service which calls people to repentance here as well. That's going to be a designed service to reach the lost. Most every other time we get together, it is our purpose in this body to teach the saved how to live. That it means discipleship. Everything coming forth is to help you grow in the Lord. We're not going to continually lay the foundations of the very basic principles. We're going to touch back on them every now and then because they need to be revisited every now and then. But it's not going to be laying a foundation, then laying a foundation, then laying a foundation. You know what happens? It gets taller, but there's no doors or windows to get into it. There's no ladder to get up on top of it. It's pointless. You just built a mass of concrete if all you're doing is laying a foundation upon foundation upon foundation. So we don't want to be childish in our understanding. We want to grow and go on from there. We want to mature. How can you be childish in understanding? Well, when you fail to understand the consequences of actions. All of our actions have consequences. And it is the nature of a child to not understand that I put my finger in that socket, it's going to hurt me. I put my hand on the cooktop, it's going to hurt me. I pull down on the handle of the pan that somebody shouldn't have left over the edge of the stove and pull it on me, and all that hot grease is going to hurt me. Children don't understand. They don't understand chasing a ball in the road. That's childish. Our job as parents, and we're not talking about that, but our job as parents is to help them grow in that. But our job is me right now. My job is me right now is to understand. I need to understand that my actions have consequences. That's part of being mature. I can't just go out and do anything I want to do, say anything I want to say, fly off the handle, make a scene, yell at somebody. Anybody ever not done what you wanted to do on purpose because you know that not doing it is the best thing? Anybody ever done that? That's maturity. Maturity is not going there when going there is the wrong thing to do. But a child can't make that connection yet. We need to mature and be able to do that. No concept of potential danger, which is we discussed as well just then. No concept of how the world works, the laws that govern things. No concept of how to make friends and be a friend. No concept of what it means to live in a society where we all have to do our share, or to be a part of a church where it takes every one of us to be what God's called us to be. No concept of what it means if everybody didn't pay their taxes. Let me tell you something. If it doesn't work, if it only works when just a few people do it, then it's probably not universally true. It's probably not a good thing. In other words, if we all didn't pay our taxes, if we all rose up and fought everything that we disagreed with, if we all took arms against a tyrannical government that is trying to make me do something that I disagree with, and there is tyranny and there are times for different things, I'm just saying that if we all in our own head live out of our own heads and our own hearts and rise up against everything and not understand that societies can't exist like that without law and order. Societies cannot exist in a state of chaos. Nobody's safe in chaos. You're better under a dictatorship than you are in chaos. Because under a dictatorship, the dictator may hurt you, and everybody marching for him and working for him may hurt you, but everybody else you can probably build a friendship with. Chaos, you can't trust anybody. Granny might come up and steal your food. Okay, when it's chaos. We need to understand how the world works and what laws govern things in life. No understanding of the benefits of deferred gratification. It's childish when people don't understand that we need to not live just for today and do things just for what we get out of it today, but there's a tomorrow. And if we only have two cookies to eat, then maybe we eat one today and the last one tomorrow and see what God does from there. But just to go through life not understanding how to properly negotiate through it. And all we see is what's in front of our eyes. And I want it, and I want it now, and I'm going to take it. That's what gets young men and women in trouble when they get to a certain age. And instead of waiting for marriage and being pure in the relationship when they come together in the marriage, they want to gratify their urges now. And there's always pain associated with that. That is immature, that's not mature. And unable to properly assess true value or worth. You ever had it'd be an interesting experiment. Once the children start getting older and they start learning because they're growing and maturing. But at a certain age, you can come up to a child and show them two shiny quarters or $1 bill, and you say, which one would you like to have? One or two? Most times they go for two, because two is bigger than one. But two quarters is not bigger than $1. But that's childish understanding. It's not understanding at a mature level. It's not understanding that things aren't equal and things aren't not everything's worth pursuing. Then we come to childish thinking. Childish thinking is self-centered, all about me, not considering others. You show something to a group of kids, mine, 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 me, mine. Should we share? No. Mine. Childish thinking, if I can see it and I want it, it's mine. If I can't see it and I don't want it, then it's not my problem. I can walk away. Maturity is saying that it's not all about me. And if I see it and I want it, but it doesn't belong to me, the Bible calls that covetousness. Thank you. The Bible says we're coveting when we do that. My mom was always really good. She would never let us say, I want that. I see a guy on a bicycle, I want that. She said, no, never say that. Say, I'd like to have one just like it. And that's okay. But I don't want that guy's bike. I want my own. He can have his bike, but I want my own. Childish thinking is not able to correctly assess value or worth. We talked about that. And then pursuing desires and our dreams that are not worthy of a mature person's attention or energy. There's so many people out there today, it's one of the most popular things. Just go after it. Run for it. Pursue your dreams. what if your dream is to get your tongue stuck to a frozen flagpole? You know, not all dreams are worth pursuing. Some things are just childish. Some things we have to grow up and realize. You talk to many children, and again, at a certain age, this is okay. This is just part of growing up. You talk to many children, and you'll say, they'll tell you, I've got so many dollars at home. Oh, yeah? What are you going to do with it? You going to give it to Granddad? No. I was planning on buying this robot that does this and this and this. And to them, that is the greatest thing in the world. I remember as a kid, I used to watch those TV commercials. And a few younger people, you won't know what I'm talking about, but if anybody's older, they'll know. They used to sell shoes called PF Flyers. They were tennis shoes. And they would have this thing that said they had this secret wedge in them that made you run faster and jump higher. And it's like some thing, if you had that, you had magical powers or special powers. And as a dumb kid, I thought, man, if my dad only loved me enough to buy me some PF Flyers, I'd be the fastest kid in school. You know, childish thinking, unable to assess value or worth, and having a dream about something that wasn't really worth pursuing. It's interesting, you asked a lot of kids when they're young, what do you want to be when you grow up? And some of them will say sensible things. Others say goofy things. I used to say I want to be a garbage collector. And I kind of knew it was stupid, and I kind of said it on purpose. I didn't really want to be a garbage collector, but that's just kind of the amount of reasoning I was using and thinking that I was using. I couldn't come up with anything better. Might as well make a joke of it. We need to move away from childish thinking. You know, we need to grow up. Amen? How many adults, you know, they spend their time thinking about the car they're going to buy or the thing or this or that, or I'm going to go here and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And there may be nothing particularly wrong or sinful about it, but is that the most important thing in your life? And it can become that. It can become something that just kind of sucks you in, and your whole imagination and all your thought life is wrapped up in this thing you're going to get or this thing you're going to do. That's childish. Children do that. Adults need to move on past that. And if they have dreams, they ought to be dreams worth our time and our energy. So, what does grown-up or mature look like? And we're going to close after we talk about a couple of these things. What does grown-up or mature look like? Well, first of all, I want you to see that there are progressive levels of maturity. Maturity isn't not mature, no maturity, fully mature, bang, one jump. There's levels of it. First of all, we all start off in life in needing to be cared for. We can't feed ourselves. We can't clean ourselves. We can't do anything for ourselves. We're just there, totally helpless and hopeless without somebody loving us enough to care for us. But that's okay. That's how we start life. But then we can't stay there in order to be a mature person, a fully mature person, to look like what we intended to look like. The second level is when we can effectively care for ourselves. When we can go into the bathroom, we don't have to yell out, Mommy and Daddy, I'm finished. We know how to wipe our own bottoms and wash our own hands. And we know how to put food in our own mouths and not all over the kitchen. You know, caring for ourselves and dress ourselves and look like somebody knew what they were doing when they dressed us can effectively care for self. That's the next level of maturity. And what a wonderful day it is for any parent who knows when I don't have to buy another diaper.
Amen.
Why? Because they've learned how to do this function on their own. And even if they need help in other areas, they at least need to, they know when they need to go, and they don't do it at the wrong times in the wrong places. So getting to that place, we celebrate these levels of maturity when they can do things on their own. It's a growing process. And that's part of being a child. And that's God's design. But God's design was never to stay at any level, but to work towards the highest level. Then the next level, level number three, is not only being able to care for ourselves, but we have the care and compassion and heart and capability of caring for others. We look, how can I be a help? How can I use these arms and these hands and these legs and this mouth to do something for somebody else rather than just me? That's maturity. How can I walk into a room instead of looking like this is a mess and walking out? I hope somebody cleans that up. But what can I do to help? When I first met my wife, I won't go into a lot of that right now, but she was the first woman, lady, mature female that I've ever remember meeting. Why? Because she not only cared for herself and she did it well, but she cared for the needs of her family. She was always looking to help. When we would go other places, she'd say, what can I do to help? We'd eat dinner with another couple. And next thing I know, me and the guy were in the living room talking. She was in the kitchen helping washing up dishes. And the lady would say, no, no, you go sit down. No, I'm going to help. This is Susan's desire. She's not going to not be a help to others. And let me tell you something about her. If you got her attention, you got her attention. She cares about you. I can't even get a word in edgewise when she's got her focus on others. She can only do one at a time, and I realize I take the back seat when it's your turn. I take the back seat. But you fully got her. And that's kind of how we need to be. I think she can mature a little bit and do that and still turn to me and say, yes, dear. She's still got a little growing to do, but she's mature. She cares about others. We need to grow up to where it's not just all about me and taking care of myself and what can I do to help. And then here's the fourth stage, the highest stage. Can be counted on. Everybody say counted on. Everybody can be counted on. Everybody. A mature person can be counted on to care for self and others as a responsibility, not as a whim or a good feeling and wanting everybody to know how special I am. I'm a good person, aren't I? Because I care about myself. I took care of myself. I dressed myself. I showered myself. I brushed my own teeth. I fed myself. And I'm helping you. Look how good I am. I'm helping you. Because I felt like it right now and I had the time. But the highest level of of maturity is when I do that because it's a responsibility that I have. That means I may not even want to right now. But it's the right thing to do. I want to tell you, after the week I've had, and once again, it's a blessing. I'm so thankful for my children. I'm so thankful for my grandchildren. There's nothing I'm complaining about other than the fact that I'm getting older and I don't have the energy I used to have. And that's nobody's fault, not even my own fault. But I've had a difficult week. Susan has had a difficult week. And bringing forth this message and preparing for it, I said, Lord, I am running on anointing right now, not on feeling, not on physical energy, not on human ability. I'm going to get prepared, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to deliver it because of your anointing on me. Sometimes you get so excited you can't wait to get up here and preach. I came out of responsibility. I came to fulfill something that I knew I needed to do. It was a responsibility. I got no feelings at all, except that I know the anointing of God abides. You don't have to feel something in order to do it. You know, money, feeling is not money, right? Let's make this sensible or applicable. How many of you have a bank account with money in it? And I'm not going to ask you how much, but just how many of you have a bank account with money in it? Okay. If you are not feeling like you have money in the bank, does that matter? What matters is the fact that there's money in the bank. Your feelings and money are two different things. You can feel like you're not enough, but maybe the money in the bank says there is enough. And it's the same way it is in life. It's the same way it is with the anointing. You can feel anointed or just know that you're anointed. I know I got God's money. I got God's deposit in me. So I can operate on that. And I know I'm not going to stay in this state of numbness forever. I'm going to get past it. So why can't I just go forth and do what God's called me to do, knowing that everything's going to get better and feelings will come? It's not just about preaching. It's about doing anything. It's about doing your husbandly duties. It's about doing your wifely duties. It's about doing your parent duties. It's about doing your brother and sister in the body of Christ duties. Can be counted on to care for self, counted on. That means you can depend on me. I want you to be able to depend on me. I want my word to matter to you. And I want your word to matter to me. I want to be able to count on you. This is what family and relationship is all about. We count on one another. Can be counted on to care for self and for others as a responsibility, not as a feeling. Praise God for feelings. Praise God when you can just go through the day and sing and whistle. And once again, my grandkids being over at the house, Susan would give them little jobs to do, and they're singing at the top of their lungs. They're having the best time ever. Can I do that, Grandma? Can I do that? You know, they're doing it because it is fun, because it's just something that's different when it's a responsibility, when you got to do it every day, day in, day out. This is my job. Well, the fun kind of goes out of it. Now you're running on something other than feeling. It's running on responsibility. That's not a bad thing. It'll get you through life. It'll make you look like and feel like a mature human being. Okay, what does it mean to be responsible? For self, it means living in a manner that others do not feel worried or concerned about you. You're not an emotional burden on others. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. To be responsible for self means I am not going to be a burden on others. I'm not going to just know how to feed myself, clothe myself, put myself to bed, wake myself up. I'm going to go beyond that. I'm going to be responsible in my actions so that I take care of myself and do my duties in a way that others don't have to be worried about me. Can be counted on to keep your commitments and honor your word when it's easy and not easy. Others don't have to carry your weight. You are not a physical, emotional, or financial burden on others. Now, there's exceptions to this. If you're sick and you need help, then you need others. You're going to be a burden on others. But when they love you, it's not a burden. When you are in a place, when you hit a wall and you've done all you can do, and you just need to help, need to cry out for help, then cry out for help, because you're in a family that loves you, a church family, and hopefully a human family that loves you. And that's not being childish, coming to a place where you have no more resources. Susan and I were out doing a job in the yard the other day, and we had this big cover we were trying to stretch over a shelter frame, and it's a big vinyl cover. It was really heavy, and it was just too much for us to do, so I had to run and get Holden, ask Holden to come out and help us. And he graciously came out and gave us a hand with it, helped us do it. I didn't feel childish when I needed help. I didn't feel like I wasn't man enough. I just felt like there was more, you know, we needed six hands instead of four. Sometimes life is like that, and it's not a bad thing to ask for help. It's a bad thing to constantly live in that, where that's the only way you can exist. Once again, except if health is the reason, or you got something underlying that is preventing you from doing it other than will. And lastly, when caring about yourself and caring for self, admits mistakes and failures. A mature person admits mistakes and failures, readily accepts personal responsibility for cost if your actions have made it that there's cost to yourself or others, damage or hurt that has been caused, seeks to heal rather than to hide, owns up rather than runs off. That's what a mature person does in regards to self. You take responsibility for you and they talk about carbon footprint, you know, all the time about things, but whatever human footprint we leave behind, we take responsibility for it. Whatever we mess up, whatever we hurt, whatever we get wrong, we say, that was me, it wasn't him, it wasn't her, it was me, I did it, I'm so sorry, what can I do to make it better? That's maturity. And then for others, we are called to provide for others. The blessings of God, physical, emotional, and spiritual, to those who need it, like I did when I asked Holden to come help. When sick people are in bed and can't get up, that's not childishness. That's just going through life and needing help. But we who have the resources to be mature is to say, I got to do something with these resources that is helping others. Take these blessings of God to those who need it and who would be hurting without it. For others, we protect them. We help them avoid unnecessary pain and trouble. Be a faithful friend who speaks the truth in love, being a true help to others. And then we propel them. We provide for them, we protect them, and we propel them. This is our investment in others. This is one of the highest levels of maturity, is when we're involved in making these things happen for ourselves and now for others. We propel, we bring, we take, or we push forward others. Lift them up rather than put them down. Reach out rather than push away. Put your energy into someone else getting ahead, for them winning, for them succeeding, or getting further along. Getting people to Jesus, then helping them grow in His grace, these are the greatest things that you can do for another human being. A mature person who's a Christian is involved not only in providing some food for people who need it, but some spiritual help for those who need it. And constantly being on the lookout, how can I help? You know, after all this time, I'm thinking, maybe I need to grow up. Started off saying, why don't you grow up? You need to grow up. But after thinking about it, the person I'm talking to probably is the guy in the mirror. You know, I need to grow up. I'm not fully mature my own self. I'm not talking to you today because Mr. Perfect, Mr. Extra Mature, you can't reach my level guy, is talking to you poor people who are so far below me, I don't know if you understand. No, it's not that. I'm just like everybody else. I read this, I study this, I seek God, God speaks to me. Maybe I need to grow up a little. You're 65 years old. Yep. And I'll probably still need to grow when I'm 70, when I'm 75, when I'm 80. Until the Lord comes back, I want to continue to grow. I want to continue to mature. See, that's the thing about maturity. It has nothing to do with age. I remember a young man said one time, he was a young adult in his early 20s. He and his father were friends with another guy who was his father's age, and the other guy always kept putting this 20-year-old down. And he said, he makes me so mad. He said, sure I'm young. Sure I'm half his age. He said, but if I act like a man, I ought to be treated like a man. He said, if I act like a child, I ought to be treated like a child. He said, but I know I act like a man, and he's not respecting me for that. And that's exactly it. It has nothing to do with 20, 40, 60, 80. It's got nothing to do with any of that. It has to do with the points that we brought out. Am I taking care of myself? Am I caring for others? Am I doing things not only on a whim and when it feels good to me, but am I doing it when it's a responsibility? Can I be counted on for doing it? You know, only a truly mature person will make the best husband or wife. That's why we needed to go over this week before we get into what it means to be married and some of the things about that. And that'll start with 1 week, and then we'll get into some things I'll probably have to do on a Sunday night, talking about some things that we need to talk about there. But to be the best husband and wife or wife, it's the more mature we are, the better job we're going to do. That's why when two young people get married and neither one of them are mature, it doesn't mean it won't work, but it means they're going to have to grow up in order for it to work. When I got married to Susan, there was years. I was in my late 40s, early 50s before she stopped telling me I was a boy. I had matured all along. I was maturing all along. Took on a lot of responsibility. But, you know, I started out so far behind the eight ball. I was an immature young man. And in order to make our marriage work, I had to grow. And I've been growing ever since. But I had to grow in what it meant to be a husband. How can I be a better husband? Not how can I point out to her how she should be a better wife, but how can I be a better husband? And that going back to being mature, because it's taking responsibility for self. So only a mature person will make the best husband or wife. Only a truly mature person will make the best father or mother. What Jesus say? Can the blind lead the blind? Can the children raise children? No, it takes some adults to raise children. It takes some mature people to raise children. Not totally perfect, not having everything right now, but working towards that, moving towards it, having a heart. And when you realize, when you look in the mirror and say, I need to grow up, then that's what we need to say. I need to grow up in that area. Only a truly mature person will make the best neighbor, boss, employee, citizen, mayor, congressman, senator, or president. We don't need children in those positions or people who act childish. This is the will of God. Only a truly mature person will make the best brother or sister in Christ. I can be my best for you when I'm my maturest, when I have put away childish things, and when I'm living as a mature man. Let's all grow up and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord God, I thank you for your anointing. Lord, I thank you that we can trust you. Lord, I thank you that wherever you have spoken to us, about us, Lord, I don't really need to know what you were saying to Jason this morning or what you were saying to Holden or Dustin this morning. I don't need to know that, Lord. I need to know what you're saying to me this morning. So, Lord, make it plain to me. And what you're saying to them, make it plain to them. And, Lord, give us the grace to go forward and continue to grow in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.